If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from Pretoria Law in Tyson's Corner, Virginia. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, David Kunzman, Pretoria Law, Jennifer Wappas, Pignato Carp, Dika Car M&T Bank, and Les Small and Vistage. We have a great lineup of guests for on our show today. David, will you please give us the rundown?
Dr. Angela Wilson, President and CEO of Sacon Enterprise Incorporated, Serene Almaman, co-founder and CEO of Senseware, Dr. Paul Almeida, Dean of the McDonough School of Business at Georgetown University, and Ron Lichtinger, Vice President, Sage Communications.
Excellent. Let's get to our first guest, Angela Wilson, President and CEO of Sacon. What is Sacon? What are you doing, Angela?
We provide information technology services to the federal government,
mostly
health systems.
How large or how small is this organization?
About 40 million.
Uh-huh. And how many people?
About 200.
How'd you get a job with it?
I started it.
Oh, you started this business, a $40 million, 200-person business. Where are you from originally?
Manassas, Virginia.
How many brothers and sisters?
Five brothers and sisters.
So you're one of six. Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the second to the oldest.
The second to the oldest. All right. How young were you when you started starting things, and what did you start?
Well, I was probably about 9 or 10, and I started doing little fairs and carnivals and talent shows for my neighbors.
Fairs and carnivals. So you were thinking of a different kinds of events that would attract your friends, and then you were causing these events to happen, staging these events and inviting your friends. Whose idea was this?
I was sort of the idea person, and then I'd get other neighbors and friends to help.
So you were selling tickets and stuff like that?
We were.
Uh-huh. And how'd you know how much to sell the tickets for?
We came up with what we believe was a fair price that people would pay, and they usually did, so.
Uh-huh. So growing up, or earlier when we were talking in the green room, I think Jen asked you, you know, what were you like as a kid, and you mentioned that you were shy. And that sort of shocked all of us. But tell us more about, where'd the name of the company come from?
Name of the company is my mother's maiden name spelled backwards. It's my mother's maiden name. It's Noakes. She was very influential.
Well, your mom. So you named the company after your mom. Tell us about how your mom influenced you.
Well, like I said, I was very painfully shy, so I was very, very much by her side on a regular basis, and she was very encouraging to me. She gave me a lot of confidence, you know, I think she was probably the smartest person I knew, so I really admired her for that.
Jen?
You mentioned that she was in the choir, and you were one that was not, and she gave you special attention, and this was for what?
Yeah, I was a family of musicians, so, you know, and I was the not talented music person, so I didn't have the natural talent, so I tended to gravitate to other things like learning and education.
Wait. So of your siblings, you were the one without the musical talent. So what'd that do to you?
It really forced me to understand more about how to get my voice out there. I mean, they were very, very vocal because they sang, and I was very quiet. And so, I had to find other ways to do that. And It was usually through some type of learning and knowing I know this, fact, and that's sort of how
I think you impressed all of us earlier that, that somehow you got confidence, and that's what really made you special and different. Am I mistaken about that?
No, actually, my mom was very, very influential in giving me that confidence. I mean, she was just very attentive to me, so that was very helpful at
David?
A very, very young age.
Tell us about your father's role in the family.
My dad worked really hard, worked long hours. He was—he instilled work ethic for sure. It was all about work for him and for us. He really thought it was important that we were all working. We were all doing something at all times.
How did that affect you, 8 to 14? How did that show up?
I got a job as soon as I could. I really was.
How young were you when you got a job? How young were you when you got a job?
15 and so many months.
Doing what?
I worked at a restaurant.
Whose idea was it?
It was my idea.
What kind of restaurant?
It was a Wendy's restaurant.
Uh-huh. And what'd you do different than all the other kids that worked at Wendy's?
I had to walk to work, so and it was pretty far away, so that was definitely something that was a little bit different.
How about when you got to work?
I'm sorry?
How about when you got to work?
I worked hard. I mean, I really believed in, it was just really instilled in us to work hard. So
what was your original role there when you started?
At Wendy's?
Yeah.
The front desk counter.
Uh-huh. What did you advance to?
I did every station in the restaurant.
Did most of the other kids do other stations in the restaurant?
A lot of them had to do a lot of stations in the restaurant. I mean, I think that we did the grunt work.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you wanted to.
Well, I did. I definitely did. I wanted to earn enough money to get a car, and I did, so.
What's that have to do with starting your own business, the fact that you wanted to work at all those other stations?
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Dee, what do you got?
Well, working in a fast food restaurant, what was the management like there?
They were tough. I mean, they were really tough on us.
So what did that do to you as a manager today?
As a manager today, I really try to inspire people. I mean, I think that's really what I enjoy. One of the things about what we do is I like to be surrounded by smart people. I think that sort of came out with my mom as well. I think she was just very smart. I was inspired by that. My role and my goal is to inspire the folks around me to be smarter than me and, to bring knowledge to the table.
What's that have
customers?
To do with pulling together this carnival when you were 9 years old? Isn't that what you were doing back then? Pulling the kids together, getting everybody excited, coming up with ideas?
Yeah, actually. Uh-huh. That's exactly what I was doing.
So is there a similarity between that personality trait and what you're doing now?
It is.
Starting
it is.
A $40 million person with 200 people now?
It is very much similar.
Les, what do you got?
Where did you learn to deal with the risk of possible failure?
That's the interesting part. Because of the confidence that I received from, believe it or not, my parents, I felt like it didn't matter what I did. They didn't really force us into any role or position. They just felt like we worked hard. And so failure was, so what? If you fail at that, then do something different. And so, I think that is where, the understanding that you may fail and you need to pick it up and move on.
Mm-hmm. David?
Being second of six siblings, what type of role did you play in your siblings' life?
I was the second to the oldest, and so, I did have to play a parental role, and we had to babysit at a very young age, and we had to take care of our younger siblings, my sister and I, so I did have to manage the family, if you will, from time to time, and I tend to coordinate events for them still.
What was that again? And you tend to what?
Coordinate events, the family events still. So
you're the organizer of the family.
I am the organizer.
Is that a primary personality trait that's helped build a successful $40 million business? That organizer.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So this was showing up, pulling together the carnivals at the age of 9. It's still happening with your role within the family, pulling together the family events, and it's also a major personality trait that's helped you build a 200-person, $40 million business, organizational abilities.
Absolutely.
Who's got the next question here?
You mentioned earlier that your mother passed away suddenly when you just were graduating from college. You named your company after her. How do you use the lessons she taught you in your everyday work in your company?
Well, it is about instilling confidence and providing a venue for risk-taking and being who you are.
Wait a minute. And I read the newspapers. I thought being the CEO is you yell at people and you fire people. If they don't do a job, you get rid of them. What are you talking about inspiring people and giving them confidence? I must be reading the wrong newspapers or something.
Right. No. It is very much about having people wanting to come to work every day, doing exciting work, and, you know, inspiring them to do something different. So,
Jen, what are you thinking?
Your mom was a big influence, and she gave you that confidence, and you obviously bring that to work every day. How do you incorporate that with your employees and your clients?
Well, you know, I think that it's usually about communicating in a way that people feel comfortable expressing themselves, and you know, even in client situations, really sort of thinking outside of the box and really trying to brainstorm different ideas and being innovative. Some of the things, projects that we're working on are some of the most sought after projects in federal government. I mean, they're healthcare related. They touch people's lives. You know, so our customers are very, very influential in what happens from a healthcare perspective, and so their jobs, their roles are very important. So it's about really embracing that and understanding that, you know, that we appreciate, you know, what they're doing, and allowing them to sort of go outside of, you know, really explore how we might be able to support the efforts that they're doing and taking the risk with them.
The way your mom really appreciated what your strengths were and how she supported you is what you're doing with your clients and your team. There seems to be a pretty direct correlation there. What's the website address of this organization, Angela?
SECON.com, SECON.com.
Let me have that one more time.
SECON, SECON.com.
We've been speaking with Angela Wilson, President and CEO of SECON, here on Executive Leaders Radio, with my co-hosts, Les Mullen-Vistage, Deka Carr, M&T Bank, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnotto Carp, David Kunzman, Pretoria Law, and Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders, executiveleadersradio.com. And we'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Yeah.
Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves, because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Serene Almaman, co-founder and CEO of an organization known as Senseware. Serene, what is Senseware? What are you guys doing?
We have a smart building technology that enables the engineers in building to manage, control, and monitor what's happening in their buildings from anywhere.
Ooh, this sounds pretty complicated. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Saudi Arabia.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have four brothers and four sisters.
So you're one of nine kids. Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm second.
You're the second oldest. And actually, you mentioned earlier that you were born in the States, and actually when you were 8 months old, you moved back to Saudi Arabia with your family because your dad had been, you know, had been in the States to go to college. And your father did something special in Saudi Arabia. What was that?
He started the first project management training and consulting company in Saudi.
Uh-huh. Did you know that as he was doing it?
My father was really good at telling us about what happens at work and what he's doing.
Did you take a special interest in what he was telling you?
Yeah. At the very early stage, I wanted to help out. And
what do you mean you wanted to help out? What are you talking about?
Every time I had some time after school, I would ask him if he needs help with anything, he needs a presentation or whatnot, just to learn more.
Wait a minute. Most young girls, don't you want to go out and play? What do you mean? You wanted to go to work with your dad?
Yeah, it was really interesting what he was doing.
Did he let you help him out?
Yeah, he was very encouraging.
How did he encourage you? Give us an example of 8 to 14, how he encouraged you.
He would, since he noticed that I have an interest, he would ask me to help, even if I didn't ask. If he has anything that I could do and work on, he would show me and let me run with it.
Uh-huh. How do you think that, do you think that had any impact on you getting involved in this business?
Yeah, definitely. It taught me that I could do things that I didn't know I could do. It taught me how to run a business.
Jen?
Wasn't that not really the norm in Saudi Arabia at the time?
Yeah. There wasn't much to do outside of just going to school. So being able to help with the business was especially different for female in Saudi.
Sure. And obviously you enjoyed and your dad enjoyed kind of giving you this advice. Has he been to your office now?
Yes, yes. Definitely.
Would you say that he's proud of what you've accomplished?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. How do you know that?
He shows a lot of interest in what we're doing. Every time we meet, he asks about the business and try to advise as much as he can. And
wow. Yeah. David?
Your father encouraged you and challenged you. Tell us how that impacts you and how you deal with your employees and build your company.
The main thing that I try to tell our team is that find a way to get things done, and do things right, and never let anything stop you.
Give us an idea of how 8 to 14 years old you figured out a way to do something that was clever or different, 8 to 14.
Bringing technology to the school because I had to
you
do that with my
to where in Saudi Arabia,
yeah.
8 to 14 years old.
So showing people, for example, how to use PowerPoints that it exists, and that's something that was new. People were, what is PowerPoint?
Were
and,
other
and
girls
like
eight?
That.
Were other girls in Saudi Arabia 8 to 14 year old doing this kind of stuff with technology in Saudi Arabia too?
I think it was unique and different.
What was unique and different?
Just knowing how, not being afraid of using technology and teaching it to others.
Uh-huh. Angela, do you have a question? Dee?
Talk to me a little bit about growing up in Saudi Arabia.
It was a little bit frustrating for me because I wanted to do everything that my siblings were doing, and my male siblings. So, for example, they had the chance to take karate classes, and I really wanted to do that. But it was frustrating that that wasn't available for us.
So what's that done to you now as a manager?
Just to not let anything stop us. Stop me and find a way to get to what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Les?
So how did that affect the opportunities that you had in Saudi Arabia? I mean, did you leave there and come here because you didn't have those opportunities?
Well, I had the opportunity to come for school here on a scholarship, so that really helped me realize the dreams that it was difficult for me to have in Saudi Arabia. So I think that was really
So you came
lucky.
Back here by yourself?
No, I came with my ex-husband at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So you came with your ex-husband, but you're the one who started the business.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Uh-huh. Where'd the money come from to start the business?
I consulted with some companies at the beginning, so I used some of the money to start the business.
Your father didn't give you the money?
No.
So you saved the money. This is bootstrapped.
Yes.
So you've grown the business the hard way.
Well, we then raised money from investors, but at the beginning it was our own money.
Did you ever ask your father for money?
No, I don't.
Why didn't you take the easy way? Why didn't you ask your father for money?
Because I felt like I could do it myself and, you know, just have...
Wouldn't it have been easier the other way?
It would have been, but I wasn't looking for something easy.
You weren't looking for something easy. Interesting comment. Jen, you have another question there?
Well, you talked a lot about how your dad's influenced you. What about your mom? Has she influenced you in any way?
So I didn't get to really know my mom until I was 20. Since then, I observed a lot from her being, you know, a strong woman, very patient, very smart, and I hope I got some of that genetics from her.
Why didn't you get to know your mom until you were 20?
Because when my dad moved us back to Saudi Arabia, they were divorced, so my mom stayed in the U.S.
How'd that affect you? How'd that divorce affect you?
It made things, difficult times don't feel as difficult, not growing up with your mom.
So you're the kind of firm, you can figure anything out, can't you? You're always thinking.
I hope so,
And you don't mind the challenge. I mean, you could have asked dad for money, you could have raised money other places. You didn't want to do it. You wanted to take the more difficult route. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
David?
You were enlightening and teaching about information technology in your school as a young person, and now today with your company, you enlighten facilities managers and allow them to leverage technology. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Just really thought of technology as enabler from the very early stage, that it can make things just be more efficient and effective in doing day-to-day things. And so,
how young were you when you were teaching PowerPoint as a young girl in Saudi Arabia?
I was maybe 14, 15.
So this really is part of who you are.
Yeah.
What's the website address of this organization known as Senseware?
It's senseware.co, S-E-N-S-E-W-A-R-E.co.
Uh-huh. We've been speaking with Serene Almamend, co-founder and CEO of Senseware here on Executive Leaders Radio, with my co-hosts, Les Smolin, Vistage, Dika Carr, M&T Bank, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnotto Carp, David Kunzman, Pretoria Law, and Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Whoa. In winter, you can practically hear your skin changing. Drying out, flaking, tightening, becoming itchy, irritated, and inflamed. You need the fast relief of Cortisone 10 Intensive Healing Anti-Itch Cream. Unlike regular lotions, Cortisone 10 relieves itch and irritation with 1% hydrocortisone, the strongest non-prescription itch medicine, plus 7 healing moisturizers. With Cortisone 10, winter can just sound fun again. Cortisone 10, feel the heal. Use as directed.
Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's Biz TV. On your time.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1769. 855-325-1769. That's 855-325-1769.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Paul Almeida, who is the Dean of the McDonough School of Business at Georgetown University. Paul, what is Georgetown University, and what's the McDonough School of Business?
Georgetown is the oldest Catholic and Jesuit university in the United States, founded in 1789, and the McDonough School is one of the world's best schools for international business and international relations.
I understand that you're from India originally, and you were raised Catholic, and you also moved around a lot as a kid. So you had a lot of influences there, and I was wondering what the influence of Father Schock was on you.
So Father Schock was grade 8 and maybe grade 9, teacher in civics. And he decided that the best way to teach us is allow us to experience things. So he'd encourage us to experience, say, going to a hotel, trying to book a room, all dressed up in, you know, our blazers and ties, and then going as a villager and trying to do the same thing. And through that, we realized that the world is sometimes an unfair place, and our duty is to try to make a difference to people, to serve the common good, which is the core theme of the Jesuits.
Interesting. And you also mentioned that you never like to accept things as they are. You like to imagine the future. You never like to accept things as they are. You like to imagine the future. Where did that come from, and how's that influencing your being the dean of the McDonough School of Business of Georgetown University?
I guess I'm just a restless spirit. I can see possibilities in everything I encounter, including higher ed, which is changing because of technology and global competition. So this restlessness, I think, can serve the McDonough School well. As we wade into the future, we look at how machine learning, how artificial intelligence, how global experiences can make our students' lives richer. So I think I'm in the right job at the right time.
You also have a smile on your face. Where did this love of life come from?
Oh, definitely my mother. Remember, it's not easy being a mother of 7 kids, and I guess we weren't always the easiest kid. I remember my mother telling one of my younger brothers, I hope you have 7 children just like yourself. But she was full of life, and she's still alive. She loves people and loves life and is a perennial optimist, and I'm lucky to get that from her.
When you were 14 years old, you told us, I believe it was in India, that you decided you wanted to make some money, and you're the fifth of 7 kids, and it was your idea at the age of 14 to go teach math. Now, most kids are mowing lawns or delivering newspapers. Where did you get this idea to go make money teaching math, and what did you do different than anybody else?
I loved math, and I knew I could teach it well, and I knew math wasn't taught very well in most schools. So first I started tutoring a couple of neighborhood kids, and they did much better than their parents expected. That gave me the confidence to talk to one of the local high schools and say, guess what? I can make
Wait. So you got some positive feedback, and that gave you greater encouragement that you could do more and that you were on the right track in terms of your teaching methods?
I think you're right. I didn't think of that before, but I think there was a positive feedback loop there that encouraged me to try.
And what did you learn from that positive feedback loop, and what did that encourage you to further do? And how's that affecting you nowadays?
You know, I think because I was fairly successful in my little experiments early on, I continue to experiment through life. life. I moved from being an engineer. I tried my hand at banking and consulting, and then finally being a professor. Once I joined Georgetown, I realized I don't just have to teach and do research. I tried administration as a head of executive education. I experimented a lot, and it worked.
You sound to me like an entrepreneur. Isn't that what an entrepreneur does? Try different things,
yes,
take on new
yes.
challenges?
And I think a lot of higher ed is going to have to be entrepreneurial in the future. I think we're going to have to be innovative. We're going to have to seek the future. We're going to have to reinvent ourselves so that we can really serve the public.
So how do you take your personal experiences that you've had and infuse it in your role as an administrator, if you will?
Yeah. Unfortunately, for people around me, I can't help but do that. I'm a kind of restless spirit. So if I look at our curriculum, I say, how can it be better? If I look at which programs we have, say, what can we launch that will embrace technology and make it easier for the students to do?
So you're still doing it as you were doing it when you were younger?
Oh, very much so. Very, very, very much so.
So when you were in teaching math in India, did you do something differently than the school?
Yes. Even then, I experimented with how people learn. Yeah. I believe people learn best from their peers. And I remember breaking up the, you know, say, 30 people in class into little groups and creating competitions amongst them who could get the answer fastest. And I'd reward them with very silly rewards. I can't remember what. They were probably candy of some kind. Yeah. And I realized the competitive instinct is a part of the learning process as well. Everyone wants to seek for more.
Did you bring that to Georgetown as well? Is it something that you saw?
I don't give candy out at Georgetown. I've stopped that. I think that same spirit, that same
essence,
trying to do better always, never being satisfied with where we are.
You've been teaching since such a young age. Who were the teachers in your family?
My mother was a part-time teacher, and I think three of my four sisters were teachers. And we love to teach people even if they didn't want to learn. We like to explain and argue and seek solutions at the dinner table. Quite a feisty family. Mm-hmm. I think we'd wear out visitors sometimes just listening to
Jen?
Us.
Jen?
You mentioned that you had moved around a lot when you were young. And how did kind of getting uprooted, what have you learned from that experience?
I think that's a wonderful question because long ago I realized I'm comfortable being uncomfortable. I don't have to be the insider. I don't have to belong. I'm quite happy to be the outsider and continuously seek change and continuously seek the future.
What an entrepreneurial instinct. Les, what's your question there?
Where does that come from? Because you had mentioned something in the green room about your grandfather.
I've never met my grandfather. He passed away before I was born. This was my mom's father. But he was an orphan, and he was brought up by priests, literally under the staircase. Mm-hmm. And he did very well for himself. And a lot of the family live off his wealth to this day. And I, from all the stories my grandmother told me, he was the entrepreneurial one. He kept seeking to do better.
So was it all about taking better, or was it something else that you had mentioned around never accepting things as they are?
Yeah, I think the two are connected. It was not just better for yourself, but better for the world. This idea that we can and should make a difference to society is very strongly embedded in my family.
Of all the things that you've done and accomplished, what are the most? What's the thing that you're most proud of?
I think my family, I have a very good relationship with my son and daughter and wife and even my dog. I'm most proud of the fact that we can talk about anything. My son's 23, my daughter's 20, and we talk about anything and everything.
I thought the question that Dee asked you is, of all the stuff you've done, what are you most proud of? Now, you're the dean of the McDonough School of Business of Georgetown University, and you've had other previous careers. And what did you just talk about that you're most proud of?
My family.
Why?
And our relationship. I think if you could have all the success in the world in your career, but if you cannot form a family that moves on to continue to make a difference, then you're really creating something sustainable. And I'm particularly proud of my family.
It's the relationships that mean
yes.
a lot to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who's got the next question here?
Sustainability. Where did that show up for you as a kid?
I realize that too often we take great satisfaction from things that happen in the short term, but the next day they're gone. And the idea of creating sustainable institutions, sustainable actions, I think was embedded very early. I'm not sure where it came from, but it was very
deep. Is it a Jesuit thing? Is it what is that?
It could be. It could be part of my Catholic heritage. There was definitely this idea that we're here to serve the world, and the world is not for just today or tomorrow, but way beyond in the future.
David?
Your father served in a different way, you mentioned. And tell us about that and its impact on you.
Yeah, my dad was a naval officer, first in England and then, you know, mostly in India. And my father was a great organizer, but he was totally risk-averse. So he would plan everything to the T. I've got a lot of that planning in me as well, but I've got a little bit of my mother's family's madness as well. I think that combination suits me.
And that combination yields innovation?
I think so.
Okay.
What's the best part of your day, Paul?
I hate sitting in my office and doing stuff. I jump up and talk to people. In fact, I have to escape from my chief of staff and my assistants sometimes. I just go and chat to students, faculty, anyone who happens to be passing through the building.
Because you really enjoy the relationships.
And I enjoy that.
What's the
not sure if it's productive or not.
Well, I'm sure that it is. What's the website address of this Georgetown University?
It's georgetown.edu.
Let me have that one more time.
Georgetown.edu.
We've been speaking with Paul Almeida, Dean of the McDonough School of Business, Georgetown University, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
If you're
you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon & Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon & Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Smitty Bradstock, who's president of Veteran Design and Construction. Smitty, what is Veteran Design and Construction? What are you guys doing?
We are a design and construction company. We design buildings and infrastructure, and then we can also build them with another group in the company. And we are a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business, which is a category in the federal government.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one older sister and one younger brother.
Interesting. And what did you learn from having an older sister and a younger brother?
Well, being in the middle, you get to mitigate.
Uh-huh.
And so my sister has and had at the time a very strong personality,
uh-huh.
liked to direct things in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was much younger than us, so he really hadn't developed those kind of skills, mm-hmm. if you want to call them skills. And so I had to sort of mitigate between them.
Samim, what do you got? What are you thinking?
So you did you feel the need to compete with your sister?
No. It really wasn't a competition so much as her way or the highway, or we would have to discuss and work out the differences between
us. So that helped you build your own confidence.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
So it helped you build your own confidence. I guess it also taught you how not to get into a fight.
Absolutely. You can get into fights with a lot of people, employees, supervisors, clients. It's really not the way to conduct oneself.
So your older sister taught you how to get along with everybody.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. What'd your mom teach you?
My mother taught me the importance of integrity, hard work, discipline,
How'd your mother teach you that?
She was the stalwart of the family, very dedicated to the children, very hard on us at times.
Did you tell us a story about something that happened above the sink?
Right. The kids would do the dishes at times,
mm-hmm.
and my mother had an embroidery over the sink, and it goes something like this: Lord, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
How's that helped you grow this business known as Veteran Design and Construction?
Well, we all have challenges before us in our lives, both in professional and personal parts of our existence, and in forming a company, you have to work through those challenges. Some things you can change, some things you can't change. You just mm-hmm. have to be smart enough to deal with it.
Just wanted to know what your mom taught you. Sherry, what do you think?
Well, your mom, you told us earlier your mom taught you about integrity. How did she show you integrity?
It was interesting. One circumstance, someone over paid us in at a restaurant. There were a couple of pennies that were left over. She made sure that the person got the money back. And I said, "Mom, it's just a couple of pennies." And she said, "No, it's the act more than the amount that's important."
Brian?
Smitty, you said that you became a mechanical engineer, you went to the United States Military Academy, you became a field artillery officer, all very technical things to you. When did you first realize you had sort of a technical mind, and how did that first manifest itself?
It started in elementary school. I enjoyed mathematics in high school. I enjoyed mathematics. I also studied history. But as it dovetailed through the ages in my life, I've been working with numbers and math in just about every walk of my life.
Ed? Your military career, you rose to which rank?
I was a major.
You're a major. So what'd you carry over from your military career that helps you run the business now?
Well, it's a lot of things that happened throughout my life. Leadership is really important in life. It just doesn't apply to business, but also in personal experiences. And you have to be honest with other people and honest with yourself. That sets the foundation for how you interact with other people.
Ed, there's a common theme here that resonates, and it's leadership, obviously. How young were you the first time you found yourself in a position of leadership?
Probably when I was a Cub Scout, in a little group, the den, working with the other guys in the den, and things that we had to do. We had to put things together and negotiate things, and it worked out.
Wait, was that a designated position or an assumed position?
I sort of just took it on. It just seemed to be a natural thing to work with other people.
You took what on? What are you talking about?
Just resolving problems, dealing with things, tasks that we had to do together.
Mm-hmm. What does your day-to-day look like now?
Oh, every day is a new day in our business, and I'm sure it's in every business, particularly in the leadership roles that we have. Mm-hmm. It's just not punching buttons. It's dealing with issues that come up on a moment's notice.
Is it me?
You had said that the military changed your personality. How so?
Well, I went from being a leader on the sports fields in high school to college, and then I was taught a great deal of things about leadership and integrity at the military academy. Then I used those skills in the Army, and then the difference between the Army or the services and private sector is officers and senior leaders can direct people to do things. They're going to do them without any question unless mm-hmm. they're a legal request.
Right.
But in the private sector, it's a different story altogether because everyone wants to know who you really are when you try and tell them to do something.
At what age did you decide to follow the military path?
Probably started early when I was a Cub Scout and a Boy Scout. Then I got into sports, and I liked the leadership role and working with teams and building everyone's skills. The one thing that did impact me tremendously was the Vietnam War was going on as I was young. I was watching the carnage on TV, and I wanted to do something that made life better for our world.
What was that? What are you talking about? You wanted to make life better?
Well, there are good stories and bad stories about the Vietnam War. It's been studied quite often, and it has dramatically changed leadership roles in the armed forces of the United States. And I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to be a positive leader, not a negative leader.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address of this organization known as Veteran Design and Construction?
Veteran-DCI.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Veteran-DCI.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Smitty Bradstock, president of Veteran Design and Construction, here on Executive Leaders Radio. John, can you give us a rundown on who we've had the opportunity of hanging out with today?
Our first guest was Carrie Cho, CEO of Cornerstone Montgomery. Then we talked to Michael Tinsley, president and CEO of Neo Systems Corporation. Our third guest was Iman Bassam, founder of ESB Advertising. And we just spoke with Smitty Bradstock, president of Veteran Design and Construction.
Excellent. I would like to thank my co-hosts, John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching, John Hillen, George Mason University, Brian Chandler, Praetori Law, David Karp, Pagnotto Karp, Samim Ardeshar, and Sherry Kinnar, Grossberg Company, Ed Ruff, ACS Creative, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. He'll be providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio,